Katrina.
Yes, I'm here.
Praise be to Jesus.
Am I clear? Can you hear my voice clear?
We are on and rocking.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay, so guys, I know y'all listening like, what? But I'll explain struggle, everything girl. To you. Thanks again for tuning in to another week of the Genesis Project. This is your host, Ashley Perkins. And that other voice you hear is Miss Nicole Leggings. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Leggings, yeah. My first name is Katrina, but my middle name's Nicole.
No,
no, it's okay. People say it all the time. No, you're fine. That is perfectly fine.
Okay. And your name was in my phone as Katrina. Okay, that's crazy. But okay, Katrina Nicole Leggings. And guys, it is such an honor to have her on here. I'm just going to be honest with you. We tried to do this a couple months ago, but we were having like some technical difficulties. And it was just like the worst. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like the world is conspiring against me because this is such great content, but it just would not record and just go right. But you know what? I believe God does all things well, because this is the perfect time to have my guest on today. For me, for my mental health personally, and then also for my listeners, I've just been tuning into what people are saying and what people are going through, and everybody, you know, maybe dealing with things in the matter of mental health, self-care, and just trying to get aligned and just so many things. So I wanted to bring a professional on here who can help us with the basics of self-care, the barriers of self-care, and just so much and so forth and so on. So guys, I would like to introduce you to Katrina Nicole Leggings. Hi, Katrina.
Hello. I'm so excited to be back, because I'm gonna say be back.
Right.
Yes, we recorded, and you know, you and I know what we talked about, but like you said, timing is everything. And anybody who knows me or follows me knows that this topic is near and dear to my heart. And I'm just excited to talk about it with you on your podcast.
Thank you. And thanks for being patient with me also. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So thank you. So we're going to jump right into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So up and down my timeline, whether it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, you turn on whatever station, everybody is talking about self-care, right?
Right.
From you're a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you look at it from a totally different standpoint, right? Tell us what you, from a clinical standpoint, what is self-care?
So self-care, in a nutshell, is any deliberate act we do in order to take care of ourselves, to help meet our personal needs. It's intentional. You know, it's not something that we do from time to time. It's something that we want to get in a habit of doing, something that we do on a day-to-day basis if we can. What I've seen with a lot of the kids and the teenagers and young adults that I work with, they don't even understand what self-care means. And so that's where we have to begin. What does it mean? What has been modeled? What do you think about it when you hear about the word self-care? And once you get a basic understanding of what self-care is, then it's important to learn how to apply it to your life. Because everybody's lives is different. You know, some of us have 2 and 3 jobs. Some of us have families. We just have a lot on our plate, and it's important that we fit self-care in our routines somehow. And again, you have to just make sure those self-care acts are intentional, because if we're doing it unintentionally, we're not going to gain much from it. And when you practice self-care daily, weekly, you know, over time, you start to feel that. You start to feel different because you're adding in self-care and taking it seriously for your health, for your well-being. So
now you say acts of self-care. Give us a few examples of what that is.
So acts of self-care. Journaling is one of my all-time go-tos. and this is the emotional part of self-care, going out for a walk, you know, going out, spending time in nature, drinking more water, literally, you know, adding in more fruits and vegetables in your diet, you know, in your health, doing things with your family, spending time with your loved ones, not isolating yourself all the time. You know, things that you might not think that are self-care that you do are self-care. the things that we really focus on a lot. But once we understand what those things are, then we're like, okay, well, I do practice it. Well, make sure now that you understand that, you know, you start being more intentional about it. But the best way that I like to help people understand different ideas is breaking it down. So I focus on six dimensions of self-care. And I break that down as psychological self-care, emotional self-care, physical, spiritual, social, and professional self-care. So when you break those down, then what you can do as far as different acts of care. Because those things are going to look different from person to person. So, for example, and I said it earlier, journaling, that could be a part of your emotional self. And like I said earlier, with the eating, you know, healthier or going outside and get your body be a part of physical self-care. So if we can break these down into different categories, I think it'd be easier to understand what areas that you need to work on and figure out what different ideas and practices you can implement. So, way to help you kind of categorize
and understand
from like a holistic standpoint.
Right. No, and that's so important. And I like that concept of breaking it down, because then it doesn't overwhelm you when you put it into different parts. But okay, so let me ask you this. I feel like growing up, or you know, just in general, we have this misconstrued idea of what self-care is. So tell me what it is not. Because like you said, it's eating, it's more of a mental, it's more of an internal thing. Tell me what it is not.
Right. Well, for one, self-care is not easy.
Okay, I like that.
So if you think it's easy, I think you may not be practicing it the correct way, because sometimes, girl, self-care, you will be crying your heart out, you know, you are literally letting the tears flow, you are trying to figure out, you know, what stage you are in life and how to get to that next level. I mean, you're having moments to yourself to figure out who you are, what you need in your life. So definitely not easy. Self-care isn't selfish either. You know, sometimes people feel like, well, I'm putting myself first, so this is very selfish of me when I have all of these things to do or these people to tend to. But it's like, if you're not at your best self, how can you be there for other people?
You can't pour from an empty cup.
So it's absolutely not selfish. And anybody who feels like you're being selfish by putting your needs first, I would actually think about that relationship and have some dialogue, because you as my loved one should understand, especially, you know, knowing what I have on my plate, that it's a necessity for me to put my needs first so I can show up and be at my best for this relationship. Self-care is not a sign of weakness. You know, again, I think that kind of ties in with the selfish aspect, because people feel like, you know, they feel like they can't do as much as they want. And it makes them feel like they're weak physically and emotionally. But the thing is, if we're practicing true self-care, that builds our strength, that gives us more power, gives us more of the ability to get to the point that we're needing to get to, whatever that goal might be. So definitely not weakness at all. It's not a reward system, you know. So, and people are probably going to come for me about this comment. Now, I personally love getting my nails done. You know, I love getting my pedicures, and it makes me feel good in the moment. But if I am dealing with something traumatic, you know, I'm triggered by something, that manicure and that pedicure, you know, it'll make me feel good in that moment, but it's not helping me work through the pain that I'm dealing with emotionally. And I don't want to only tend to, you know, those things as a reward, you know, to help me get through what I know I need maybe a therapist for. Because if I only go to those things like shopping, you know, that becomes a habit that I feel is now an escape. You know, I don't want to really face what I'm dealing with. So I'll go get my nails done instead. I go shopping and rack up all these charges. And then now I'm putting myself in a hole. So don't look at it as a reward right. system. You know, another thing that I've noticed just within my own research and working with a lot of females is you hear that self-care is related to just females or women. Mm. And that's absolutely a myth. Right. Like, self-care is gender neutral. Men and women, boys and girls, like, we all should be regularly practicing self-care and not categorizing as, oh, that's a woman thing. You know, that's a feminine thing. You know, I'm a man. You know, I can deal with this. No, sir. We all are human. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. And we all need to practice self-care.
That
goes back to
that whole self-care is not a weakness thing. Right, because men right. may mm-hmm. view it as a weakness. Because it's generational, because I don't know if you have a brother, but I do. But, you know, we are raised different. Yes. If he falls, it's get mm-hmm. up, be a man, don't cry. And so then right. you carry that into your adulthood. And then whenever you show any type of emotion that's not aggressive, it's looked at as weak. And men yeah. don't want to be looked yeah. at as weak. So that's why I feel like men don't really have an outlet like women do. And I made a post a couple months ago, and I was like, therapy is a prerequisite to dating me.
Because
you gotta deal with that. Yourself, bruh. Because yeah. it's no, why am I doing all this inner work and then to get with somebody who hasn't done theirs? Like, it has mm-hmm. to go both ways. I think self-care, like you said, is not just for women. It's just as important for the men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to highlight that what you just said. We're individuals before we become Absolutely. Partners. So we need to do that inner self-work for ourselves so we don't come into this relationship and now we're two damaged yeah. people. What is that going to do for us? You know, that's just causing more problems. And that becomes what is known as a situationship. Oof. Nobody has time for that.
Oh.
So like you said, get yourself together. I get myself together and we're going to come together. We're going to make this an amazing, powerful exactly. couple, because we've been doing that inner self work. So I'm glad that you look at that as a important thing to work on, because it's key. But to go back to your original question, I would say another thing is it's just nothing to be ashamed mm-hmm. about. I mean, just like mental health, you know, self-care is an important component of mental health. And so if we're ashamed about self-care, that means we're ashamed about our mental health. And we should not be ashamed about neither, because we need both to keep us going. I've made statuses before, and I preach about it all the time, that self-care is an ongoing Absolutely. Process. It's not something that we can work at sometimes or when we feel like it. Because the thing is, if you're working on it sometimes and when you feel like it, that's how you're going to feel. You're going to feel good sometimes, you know, and then you're going to think to yourself, well, why am I struggling just, you know, with staying at a good place? And this is not saying you're needing to be happy every single day, because that's unrealistic. But if we are at a constant state of sadness and anger and stress, we need to do some reevaluation and figure out what we're adding in too much of, or what we need to take away. And that might be adding in more self-care, because we're distracted by other things or other people. Ooh. So, you know, you got to look at that. And sometimes you have to self-evaluate. And that's something that I do on a day-to-day basis. One of the things that anybody who follows me on Instagram, I like to share self-reflection questions, because when I'm journaling, sometimes those questions help me gain a better understanding of what I'm feeling or what I'm going through and what I need to refuel myself and replenish myself. So those self-reflection questions and those self-care check-in questions can really help you gain a better understanding of your feelings and your moods and your behaviors, So you're not stuck, you know? So I just, if you don't do that, if that's some, if you journal or wanting to start journaling, I would definitely recommend journal prompts. And I have some on my site, on my website, or on my Instagram. And like I said, it helps. It helps to check in and figure out what areas of self-care I might be, you know, not adding enough of.
That's good. You know, and I think an important part of self-care is just, you know, journaling is great. And I think another component to it is just talking. Finding someone mm-hmm. to talk to. I believe that therapy is awesome, but I also, you know, believe that talking to your friends, like, cause I realized that I have so many friends I've been knowing for years, but it's like when I came out and started talking about my journey of self-care or, you know, getting over depression and anxiety, people that I've been knowing my entire life, I never knew that they dealt with the same thing. It's just like they never knew I was dealing with it. So now, I have friends that I can actually, it's refreshing to be able to go to. And even though they don't have the letters behind their name, they don't have the degree, they can tell me how they overcame some stuff. You know what I'm saying? They can tell me from personal experience. So I think speaking to a professional, but also being willing to be open and vulnerable and just share. I'm not saying tell everybody your business. And I believe in asking God for discernment and asking God for who you can trust with your stuff. Because I also made that mistake of sharing with people that I shouldn't have. And it actually burned me. It actually sent me to a deeper depression. But that now I have wisdom. I know to go to before God, like, hey, can I trust this person?
Yeah.
And I can trust the answer from God. But let's talk about the power of vulnerability and being willing to just talk it out.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny we're on this subject because I feel like I've been talking about the vulnerability this week in particular because I've had some issues of my own. You know, people think, oh, she's a therapist.
Come on.
So she's good. Her life is good. No. I struggle like any other person, regardless of the letters behind my name. No, I struggle. And one thing that I've had to learn throughout my career, and just, again, just being a human, being an individual, is to never be afraid to talk about something that is so common, you know, whether that be a broken relationship or that's, you know, depression, I'm dealing with, you know, issues at work or within my friends, you know, my friendships. And if I don't speak up and about these issues, I am internalizing this. And this is something I'm literally suppressing to the point that one day I'm going to explode on somebody or on myself. And that's going to be scary. That's going to be very dangerous. Yes. And so, you know, like you said, finding someone that you trust, that you can go to process, and, you know, your friends aren't your therapist. And so what you do want to be mindful of, okay, I know I can talk to this friend about certain things, but I know that if it's on a deeper level, I probably need to go ahead and find a therapist, a professional to help me unpack it. Because you're right, there are some people you can go to that will listen and, you know, provide you with feedback. But then you have some people who might not know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily fault some of those people. They don't know how to deal with it. But that's an indicator, in my opinion, that, okay, we need to go another step further and get some professional help, especially if you're venting a lot about a particular issue or, you know, several issues. It's just, you know, be vulnerable enough, be honest enough to tell yourself, you know what, I need help. This is beyond what I can do on my own. You know, this is beyond what I can do. I go to church, you know, I pray, I can't do it. So I need to seek out a professional to help me get back on track so I don't lose myself. Cause I think a lot of us, and depending on, you know, how you were raised and where you come from, you know, that vulnerability might not be shown as much because you weren't shown that, you know, or wasn't demonstrated in your household, amongst your loved ones. And so you have a struggle with, you know, expressing that side of you. And so therapy could help bring that, you know, bring out more of that side of you.
Absolutely. And another thing is why it's so important to seek therapy, because sometimes as a friend, I may love you and I may have the answer, but because of what I'm going through, I can't show up for you right now.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. And you need to understand that. It's not personal. I'm just not in a mental space to give you what you may be needing. And as a friend, I'm being honest about that. And real friends would understand that. I mean, I've done that with my friends. And, you know, we're still friends 10 plus years later because we understand, you know what? You need more right now, and I respect that, and I appreciate you being honest about that. That vulnerability. Exactly. that's what it goes back to. It's real, you know. And so, I mean, it's something if you struggle with, you know, like I said, that journaling is a great starting place to help you understand, you know, how to be more vulnerable or why you're not as vulnerable. And like I said earlier, taking it a step further and seeking out a therapist is a great place to help unpack that and understand that and learn how to, you know, express that side of you more.
Now, we talked about, you know, what self-care is and, you know, practices and everything. But flip side to that, a lot of things you mentioned, like, oh, eating healthier or taking time to yourself and journaling. I would hear so many people say, well, I don't have the time for that. I don't have the money to eat healthy. What are some of the excuses? No, I'm not going to say excuses, but some of the barriers to self-care.
So I definitely, and I said it earlier, thinking it's very selfish. Thinking self-care is just selfish. So because I think that it's something that is only about me, I don't want to do it. I can't do it because this is not including my loved ones, my family. And the thing is, I think people lack an understanding of what self-care is, which is another barrier, which is why they feel like it's selfish, because they don't understand the true importance of what self-care is and what it can do for ourselves. Lacking discipline.
Yeah, ooh, that's me.
So... And I'm just keep it real. Like, you know, I'm a self-care advocate, you know, but there are times where if I have a lot going on, I may unintentionally forget something that I know I should be doing because I put myself in a pickle where I procrastinated.
Come on.
And I know I have this project due or this assignment due or, you know, something at work due. So now my self-care is on the line. And so I have to pay for that. But you got to be disciplined. You have to put it in your schedule. You know, that's another great way of starting your self-care journey is literally put it in your schedule, because there are things you can do at work throughout the day that are considered self-care, where it's just a few minutes out of the day where, you know, it's to yourself, it's for you. So that lack of discipline definitely is another barrier. Poor time management, and which kind of goes
why are you moving me like this? Chill out.
Listen, girl. it's the truth. These are very true barriers that some people may not think about or overlook when it comes to self-care. And again, you gotta add in time. Just like if you want to go hang out with your girls, with your guys, you waiting for Friday to come so y'all can go and kick it. But you can't add in some self-care time.
Come on now.
We're five
for
minutes.
For yourself. For it is
minutes.
For you. It benefits you.
Yeah. Like, you know, just 5 minutes alone at the beginning of the day. You know, just so much power comes for that. Literally not even thinking about Instagram or Facebook, you know, your emails, whatever that 5 minutes I feel is one of the most important times of the day. Because you are clearing your mind and figuring out what I want to do for the day, but how do I feel about myself in this moment, you know, and what am I going to make out of this day? So the time management is another barrier. I think also not realizing your self-worth, you know. Yeah, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we're good enough, we're worthy enough to do these things that we need to help replenish our psyche, our mental health, like our emotional side of us. And you shouldn't feel that way, but I think that when you do feel that lack of self-worth, that's a deeper level. It's something that has affected how you see yourself And that's another area you need to work on and start at, you know. And the girl, we can go into a whole new topic. God. Talking about a lack of self-esteem and self-worth. I have to
bring you back on the show for that one.
yeah. Bring me back, girl. So I would say those are some of the most common barriers to self-care that some people may have known or might have overlooked or not think about as a barrier. And again, this is not bashing anybody who doesn't or practice self-care routinely or has or struggles with understanding it. I feel like we have to know what it means and the things that we can do and ideas to practice to help us get to a place where we are actively practicing it. Because if I don't understand it, I'm not gonna know where to begin. And so if we can get a basic understanding, getting that basically that educational part of self-care, then I can figure out where to begin and how to implement it in my life where I'm not making an excuse for it. Because when you truly practice it, I can assure you over time, you'll start to feel a difference, right. You know. But again, this is not something you can practice this day, you know, this week or a couple times next week and feel like, you know, you're going to be at your best. No, you got to do it routinely, just like with therapy. You can't go to therapy sometimes and feel like you're going to be in tip-top shape or, you know, you go for a month straight and then you take off for 2 months. You know, you got to be consistent. Because when you're not consistent, you start to feel like, you start to feel different, like, man, I'm starting to feel like how I felt before I began. And part of that has to do with you not going, but also what are you doing outside of therapy? Which again, ties into, are you practicing any of that self-care that can help you, you know, get to a healthy mental state? So, you know, unintentionally, I feel like we neglect things. And sometimes we do it purposely because we don't know. That's all we've ever known. Or, you know, we are struggling with positive ways to cope. And I have to emphasize positive because there are negative things we can go to that gives us temporary feeling. And that's not something you want to create a habit of doing. But with that self-care, this is a long-term process. These are things that you're going to do each day, each week, each month, forever. You know, you don't want to stop it. Just like with mental health, you can't just stop working at your mental health and think you're going to get full results. It's just not how it works, you know, but we do need to give ourselves breaks. And I don't even know if I mentioned that, you know, taking time aside for ourselves, which is a form of a break or a mental health day. I love those days.
Girl, you know, I had to take them from work. I'm not even trying to be funny. I was like, yeah, there's no way I can show up for anything or anybody. And I'm be honest, I broke down like 3 or 4 times. And you know, but
you probably needed it though.
I needed it. And then I laughed at myself because I was like, that's what really made you break down? Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's self-care to me is also allowing myself, I don't want to say the word weak because it has such a negative connotation, but allowing myself to just be me. Like whether that's the high, loving, funny Ashley, or it's the Ashley that does not have all the answers, the Ashley that's still seeking wisdom. And be okay with that. Like, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be everything. It's okay to still be on a journey, you know, because I think in life we have so many expectations of ourselves and maybe our other people or our surroundings or just whatever. And we beat ourselves up so much. I should be here by now. I should be doing this. No, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you want to change, you have, like you said, that self-worth is knowing your worth. You have everything inside you already to change. And so for me, self-care is being aware, is being honest with myself, allowing myself to feel my emotions, whether they're happy, sad, indifferent, whatever, and just being completely honest with myself. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm glad that you said feeling your emotions. Oh gosh, that's so key. Giving ourselves permission to feel these emotions, not just the positive ones. Girl, if you're mad, if you are sad, feel that. Because you probably haven't experienced those feelings in so long. You don't even know how to feel, like what that experience is like, because you suppress it every time, or it's like, oh gosh, no, I'm supposed to be the strong one, so I'm not gonna allow myself to feel this in this moment, because this is gonna make me feel weak. And it's like, no, you haven't given yourself enough permission to go there, you know, and you need to question yourself and figure out, why am I not? What am I hiding? What am I holding on to? Because it's something that you haven't let go, but you have to go there, you know, just like this, you know, when you're grieving, you know, there's 5 stages to grief. You know, it's not, you know, it's that depression, it's that anger, you know, it's that bargaining, it's all these different things that you have to accept, like, you know what, this happened. You know, I went through a loss, whether this was a death or someone who left my life. I am sad. Right. And I need to accept that that's how I feel and be okay with it. And so, girl, I'm glad you said that, because people need to hear that and be okay with that.
But I think, you know, society, you know, especially for African-American women, is, I'm a strong Black woman. I've been hearing that for years. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I just want to be just a strong Black woman. I want to be a woman who is strong, a woman who is vulnerable, a woman who is not afraid to feel hurt. I want to be all of that. I don't want to just show up as this figure who always have it all together, because that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. It's just not the truth. We don't know everything. No. And it's so important, like you said, just to feel your emotions. You'll get tired. You'll eventually get tired of crying. Like you're like a baby who's crying. I don't care how much you soothe them, until they're finished crying, they're gonna keep crying. I don't care what you do. You know what I'm saying? And I think as adults, we need to take on that childlike mentality. Like, I'll get off this floor when it's time for me to get off this floor from crying my eyes out. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna allow myself to go through this process and feel this and get through it. But you cannot rush anybody's process.
No.
At all.
Gosh, you can't rush your process. You know, I think we depending on whatever our personal goals are, you know, embracing it regardless, you know, you have to do that and realize that every step is important and every stage is a learning experience, whether you have failed over and over, you know, have been rejected, have gotten a no. I've been taught that no opens doors for more opportunities. You know, you can't beat yourself up about it. And in your journey, your process may look different from the other person. So we got to stop comparing ourselves too. You know, this makes me think of another point. Self-care is also knowing when you need to stop and pause. You know when you need a break and need to slow down, you know, and take a moment. And if that means that you need to get off social media for a little while, you know, take a few days off or a week or a month, you do what you have to do, because self-care should be done in a very unapologetic way.
Absolutely.
You know, it shouldn't be, you should not have to explain yourself when it comes to meeting your needs. I mean, with self-care also, you got to set boundaries for yourself. You know, you don't have to explain why this is done this way or why you're not going to be here. And, you know, you may not even have the answer, because you need to get yourself in a place where you can, you know, understand yourself better. So, you know, setting those boundaries and saying no. Self-care is saying no.
Say that again.
Without an explanation. Self-care is saying no without an explanation.
Come on. I don't have to explain myself to you.
Mm-mm. No, because you may, like, because we said it earlier, you may give me a response that I might not be in a mental space to hear or be able to respond to. So it's better for me to know up front, you know what, let me not even say anything that could create a situation. I'm just going to say no and let that be the end of it, period. With a T. Period. You hear me? So that's just the end of that.
No, that's so key. That's so key. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so now I know me. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I know you.
Yes.
You're a believer as well. So we are women of God. You know, we live our lives. We try our hardest to live, you know, our lives, you know, for Christ. And, you know, and that comes with struggle. But a lot of times when you grew up in a church, you're taught just to go to God for everything. Just pray it away. Just go to church on Sunday and shout it away. And while I believe in that, I believe prayer is powerful. I believe Jesus can heal all things. I believe all of that. However, I think there's something else. There are other things that we can do for our mental health, for our, you know, in terms of self-care, and just to be a whole individual. So now you as a therapist from a clinical side, but someone who's also can, you know, help someone from a spiritual side, how can both coexist?
So for one, as believers, you know, we have been taught that, you know, God, you know, Jesus died on the cross, you know, for our sins, you know, and, you know, those are, we have to remember that he died for us. And so those are, when we think about that, there are different ways that we can heal. And I don't believe that healing can be done in different ways. And so that could mean that therapy is that other path to your healing. So I believe that through prayer, God will reveal things like, you know what, because I know that you're struggling so much, you may need to go see a professional. And that might be answered prayer that you need. And you may question like, but really, you know, like, but I'm supposed to go to you for, you're the source. And he is the source, but he supplies us with everything. He meets our needs in several different ways. It's not just in one way. And, you know, God also speaks through people, you know, like he speaks through a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer. Therapists aren't exempt. And so when we think about our healing can be brought through in different ways, and understand that we can use prayer in our church family and our faith as a supplementary aid, I think that that could help us understand that therapy and our church family and our faith can coexist. You know, also, it might be helpful for people to understand there are Christian-based therapists available, you know, and so it is helpful to seek out someone who has an understanding of, you know, biblical scriptures and, you know, and how that works, but also the psychological tools you may need in addition, you know, because some people have to understand mental illness, you know, it affects our brain, you know, this is a chemical imbalance. And so people are born this way, you know, just like if, you know, you were born with, you know, coming from a family that has diabetes or, you know, have, you know, cancer, you know, these are things that we have to realize affects us just like mental health, but because it's not something we can see or something that's tangible that we can feel, I think people overlook it and doesn't think that it's something that's real. You know, sometimes, and I've been this person, I have a transparent moment. I've been the person in the church where I know I'm struggling with something that I keep thinking about. I'm replaying, you know, over and over and over. And it's so bad, I can't even pray. And why am I feeling bad? Because this is how I was taught. This is what I learned this at an early age, that no, girl, you need to go to church and you need to pray about it. But y'all don't even understand at home, I'm thinking about how unworthy I am, how just of a horrible person I am and how low I feel, but y'all telling me to go pray and not even realizing I can't pray. I don't have the mental capacity to pray. Yeah. And so, you know, understanding that mental illness is real, you know, it's a brain disorder, and it's something that we need to go see a doctor about, because there are psychiatrists that prescribe medication, and then there are therapists, you know, that can treat, you know, the mental health aspect. And so you can see your psychiatrist for meds, you can see your therapist for the psychotherapy and the talk therapy, and you can go to church. And think about this. If you're doing all three or two out of the three, think about how much strength you'll have. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you're praying, but you're also getting that psychological part of yourself built back up, you know, with the professional that again could be someone who God sent, you know, because we still have things on earth that we got to do. You know, we got to still get our bodies, but we can't just be sitting around, you know, we need to be doing things to get our bodies and our mind back to a space that's healthy, just like exercising. If you want to see results, we got to eat right and we got to get our bodies moving. We can't just sit around and think that our bodies are going to change drastically by itself.
Oh, see, now you really try and come for me.
We got to go see somebody. We can't just sit there. And that ties back into self-care. We can't just sit here and not do nothing and think that our mental health is going to get built back up. And so if prayer right now, your church family is something that you can't grasp right now or you can't lean on, I believe that that is definitely a red flag that you need to go seek out a professional. And, you know, also if your church's see if they have a mental health ministry. See if there's someone in a church you can go to that could help lead you to someone. And I know that sometimes that can be embarrassing, but listen, mental health affects everybody. Exactly. You know, everybody deals with it. But sometimes that's a great starting point. And if your churches don't have that, I think that that's a great time to advocate for a mental health ministry or mental health services or some sort of mental health assistance in the church. Because there's a lot of people hurting in the church, a lot of broken people. You know, that's why a lot of us are there for healing. But please understand that therapy and Jesus can coexist.
Absolutely. Just think about how effective you can be in the kingdom if you are coming from a clear state. You know what I'm saying? Like, if your mind is clear, because I know, for instance, like, everything that I've ever wanted to do in ministry, I've always had the idea to do it, but my mind was so warped that I didn't have the capacity to even begin the process. You know what I'm saying? But then when I started, and I'm still working on it, but then I started working on, you know, my mental health and going to see a therapist and trying to implement self-care, and I got to take that to another level. And now I'm seeing that now I can show up in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Now I can be more effective and be myself, because I would have been so afraid. The old me would have been so afraid to share and be vulnerable because I didn't want to be, I would have had fear of being judged or, you know, fear of not being enough. But because I know who I am as a woman, but also a woman in Christ, now I can show up and really minister with a pure heart. So that's why it is so important. Like you said, it can coexist. And yes, God will tell you to go see a therapist because he gets the glory. He gets the glory at the end. He don't want nobody sitting up there talking on the side of his neck, representing him. So he's going to want you to get on the right path. So I appreciate you for even being brave enough to even talk about that, because especially we grew up in church and we know how we could be heavily criticized going against the grain.
I mean, I just want people to understand, just like we would go, you know, see a doctor for a broken bone or, you know, anything that's, you know, that we can feel or see it on our bodies. The same thing goes for our mental state, you know, and understand there's hope, there's help out there. You know, you can still pray for your healing, but that doesn't mean that you're less than a Christian or less than a believer because you go seek out a professional. Again, think of it as someone, like, this is a sign. God's probably sending you to this person so you can build back up your faith, you know, to get to a point to continue praying. Because you and I talked about that, where sometimes we just in a place we don't even know how to pray anymore or can't pray.
Don't know what to ask for.
I need to be rebuilt. I need to be rebuilt, you know, and I need that extra push. I need something, someone to help me get back to that place. But there's treatment out there, and, you know, I just don't want you to feel alone or feel like you're not allowed to seek out that help, because there's too many of us believers and Christians that are struggling day to day in the church. And it's hard for us to even understand or hear from our pastors, you know, because we're struggling with this illness, and it's unfair that we condemn those who are mentally ill, when it comes to the church, because we feel like that's their only solution. So our leaders in the churches, I also feel, needs to have some type of maybe just real basic training, so we can know when to refer people out. I mean, obviously they're not the therapists, they're not licensed, they're not, that's not their background, but just knowing when it's time to refer out, because it's real. Mental illness is real. And we all know somebody with a mental illness. and know how it feels and what to have someone or ourselves. Yeah, it was me too. as a mental illness. So, but yes, thank you for asking that question. I think it's an important topic that we all need to have a conversation about and not be ashamed about.
Now, okay, so for someone who's listening, is like, okay, I know I need to start implementing self-care. I know I need to speak to a therapist. But where do I start? Where do I begin? Walk me through. You don't have to do like a full week, but just like an example of maybe your week or what you do to for your self-care.
Oh, girl. Okay. So you want me to just explain my self-care routine? Okay. So I'll just start on the regular day. So the first thing in the morning, I have affirmations that I read. And I've had them, the ones I have, I've been reading for a good year and a half now. And I add to it if something else is in my spirit. But I read those. I have my scriptures. Now, I will say this. If I'm in a place where I'm needing my faith refueled, I might not read those scriptures, but I may do some journaling instead. I may do some meditating, just sitting for about a couple minutes in silence. Literally. Y'all need to understand, those who don't know how to
speak,
listen, if you can give yourself a good, like 3 minutes. Oh gosh. You think more clear. You can understand a lot more. You can see things in a different perspective if we can be still. But that's pretty much the morning. I have things at work where I definitely try to take lunch breaks when I can. And if I don't, I'm going to utilize my breaks so I can at least have some time to myself during work, because being a therapist is very unpredictable at work. You never know what you're going to deal with. And I need to make sure I'm in a good place. I may listen to some gospel music and I might go into prayer, you know, and that's just me being honest just to help calm myself or take a walk outside. By the time I get off work, I again sit in silence for about 5 or 10 minutes because the type of day that I've had, and I unwind, whether that's watching some TV, lighting a candle, probably doing some journaling, you know, things that I know that works for me. That's, you know, I'm not going to do anything that I'm not going to gain from. And so I try to do the same thing or switch it up if I, you know, want to try something different, but I know my go-tos. I love candles and I love essential oils. So I have an oil diffuser and I use that. Yeah, girl. And when I do that, I practice deep breathing. Even with the body washes that I use too, you know, all those just, you know, it helps with my senses. And I try to create a bedtime routine. Okay. I love my teas that I drink at night. It helps calm me. I just try to do a lot of things that calms my mind, because sometimes I experience anxiety. And so it is so important that I do things to focus on relaxing and calming myself. And a lot of people are going to probably be like, well, you got anxiety, girl. Yeah. I work at it. I work at it. And I you know, some days, I mean, I'm completely fine. Some weeks I'm fine, you know, but some days I'm just going insane. And I'm like, okay, girl, what self-care are you not practicing enough of? Girl, I thought I was and let's recenter and focus on ourselves. But yeah, and that's pretty much it. You know, Fridays I dedicate to Chipotle. I have Chipotle dates with myself every Friday. If I skip a Friday, then we're going to do it like on the weekend, on a Sunday or something. But just looking forward to my self-care time excites me, because I know it's about me and I get time to really focus on me. And that's what's key when it comes to self-care. Also, knowing that the next day I have another opportunity to get it right. You know, because like I said, with self-care, it's not easy. And it's not something you want to make a competition of or be hard on yourself about. You know, you just keep practicing it and find something that works for you. There are hundreds of ways to practice self-care. But like I said earlier, focus on those, like write out those dimensions of self-care and then figure out what you're not doing enough of. You know, and if you need help with that, I can help you. I can provide resources. Or you can, I mean, Google, you know, you can always Google things. Or if you see a therapist, talk to your therapist about self-care. Because it's something everybody should be practicing. So,
well, thank there you. So, you know, you have some great, like you said, resources. I have myself have shared some of your printables, and
thank you.
They are great. So, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you, your social media, your website, your printables, or anything you offer.
So, yes, I have lots of free resources on my website, lots of printables and worksheets. I also have different links where you can go to find therapists, so like a therapist search. I'm in Oklahoma, so I have a lot of Oklahoma-based therapists, but I also have the major links where you can find therapists worldwide, even for Christian-based therapists. And so my website is K-Nicole, that's K-N-I-C-O-L-E writing.com, and it's pretty simple, and like I said, I have everything on there. And social media is the same name. I'm on Instagram under K Nicole Writing and Facebook under K Nicole Writing. I just actually created a separate page for my merchandise. I also sell self-care t-shirts to help promote self-care awareness, and it just helps to help spread the word and help people understand more about the importance of self-care. And you can find that under KNW Collection on Instagram, and follow me there. And like I said, on the website I gave you all, that's where you can find my t-shirts and my notebooks. So, but if you have questions, you can always email me through my website or just DM me. I get messages all the time on Instagram. So please feel free to hit me up at K Nicole Writing.
Well, Nicole, we did it.
We did. Girl, I've been over here smiling for about a good like minute. Like, oh my gosh. Y'all don't understand.
Y'all don't know this. Y'all don't know our story.
Girl, we gonna keep that between us. Yes. But yeah, we did
we
it.
We did it.
We did it.
It was right.
You did so good.
Thank you. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. You are too. Thank you so much. I hope this helps somebody, even if it's one person. I don't care. Like, gosh, just y'all understand self-care and mental health is so important.
It is so important. And that's why God brought us together. And that's why we record this podcast. And God does all things well. There's somebody right now at this point in time who's going to listen to this and whose life is going to be changed by listening to this. And that's really what it's all about. That's why we're doing it. It's not for us. I could have just had a personal conversation with you, because we were talking before we started recording, and that could have been it. But no, God wanted us to come on here at this time and this season of our lives and someone else's lives, so that we could help somebody.
Yeah,
and then they could help somebody and just can move it forward. So I just once again want to thank you for being patient with me and being so willing to come on here and just share your heart. And much success to you on everything.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Same for you. I appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on your platform, which reaches so many people. I'm just grateful for the collaboration. And again, I'm here whenever to help, or if you want to speak about another topic.
Wait, what was the other one? I'm here. Oh, self-esteem.
Self-worth.
We got to talk about that. So there will be a part two or another episode with Nicole.
Okay.
Girl, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And once again, have a blessed day. Night, blessed life.
You too. Thank you so much. Thank
you're
you, girl.
Welcome.
You
talk
too.
To you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh my gosh, am I really doing this? Hi guys, this is Ashley from the Genesis Project. So I know you guys think I'm crazy because I have not recorded in almost 6 months. You know what? I recorded my friend's podcast called All Glowed Up by Andrea. That's my friend. We did a great podcast, and I had so much fun doing her podcast that I was like, oh my God, I need to get back and start doing my own podcast. But life has happened for me, and you know, things got a little out of whack, and I just been trying to, you know, get things back in order. But I'm better now. I'm good. I've been good the whole time. I had no motivation. I'm just being honest with you. I had no motivation to do it. My thoughts and my ideas were all over the place. And I just wanted to be intentional every time I get on here. So I didn't want to just record for the sake of recording. But I promised to be better with this and to be more consistent, especially in the new year. But I said I wasn't going to wait to the new year to do everything. If God put something on my heart to do it, a lot of us like to make these New Year's resolutions and, you know, I'm waiting to the new year. But no, you know, God put it on my heart to record today. So even though I had plans to be consistent in the new year, I said, you know what? It's on my heart to do it now. So I'm going to do it now. So, hi, I missed you. And today I am recording on Thanksgiving Day. And my reason for recording is because yesterday I would always hear about seasonal depression or like depression during the holidays. And I was just like, because I come from such a loving and large family that holidays have always been really special and something to look forward to. And I'm not sitting here to make this, you know, this podcast to be grim or whatever. But, you know, I lost someone really, really special to me at the beginning of November. I lost my aunt. They say you're not supposed to have favorites. I love all my aunts and uncles, but this is our favorite aunt. And she just left this earth abruptly. She died in her sleep. We were not expecting it. And it just rocked our world. And my whole family, we were just like, we're not looking forward to the holidays. Because this is like the realization that she's really not here. You know, you can kind of go on day by day, but when special moments happen, excuse me, getting over cold, special moments or, you know, times come up, whereas you used to spending that time with that person, it gets really hard. So while I'm excited to get around my cousins and my family, the rest of my family, and just laugh and eat, I'm kind of also dreading it on one hand, because it's like, I don't want anybody to bring up her name. I don't want anybody to bring anything up, which I know somebody will, but I'm just not looking forward to that part. So I kind of, for the first time, understood the whole depression during the holiday season. And so while I was thinking about that, all this other stuff, like, you know how you just go down like this is like a domino effect. Like, oh my gosh, holiday depression, Thanksgiving, I'm not going to have my aunt. Also, this is another year that I don't have a date to bring to family dinner. Also, New Year's is coming up, and who am I going to kiss at midnight because I don't have a date? And then right after that, 4th of July, Jesus, Valentine's Day. So I just was like going through yesterday, and then I was like, you know what? Let me snap out of this. Like, first of all, who's to say I could go outside tomorrow and meet somebody and fall in love by the new year and have somebody to kiss? But even if I don't, I have so much to be grateful for. And I know that, you know, Thanksgiving, we like to reflect on the external things that we're grateful for. But this might sound a little narcissistic, but I am grateful for me. Yeah, I said it. I am grateful for me. First of all, I'm grateful for my life. 2019 has taught me that how precious life is. Like, and I saw a post and somebody was like, you know, they say you only live once. And he was like, that's not true. You only die once. You live every day. And I never looked at it that way. You only die once, but you live every day. So every day that God gives you to, you know, wake up and, you know, go about your day. Like, that's truly a blessing. And it's something that we've taken for granted for so long. Because I'm learning that your life could just be going well, so you think. And then something could happen and just rock it and just try to throw you out of whack. So I'm learning to be more intentional with my time, with my loved ones, with myself. I'm just grateful for me. I'm grateful for all the lessons, and I'm grateful for the journey that I'm allowing myself to go through, where I'm asking myself questions. And then I'm not only just asking myself the questions, but I'm doing work to heal it. I posted something on Facebook yesterday and I was like, feel it, then heal it. I'm allowing myself to feel all of my emotions. I've been told all my life, Ashley, you're a crazy Gemini. You have all these emotions, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I'm grateful that I allow myself to feel those emotions. But I'm growing, so I don't lash out like I used to. I don't allow them to cause me to be as toxic as I used to, but I'm healing them. And I'm giving myself room to grow and just be me and just step into this awesome and amazing person that I am. So while I am grateful for my family, I'm grateful for the roof over my head, I'm grateful for my car, all the other temple things. And yes, I'm grateful for those things. But most important, I am grateful for Ashley. I am grateful for the woman that she is already, the woman that she is becoming. I'm grateful for all the mistakes that have shaped her to be who she is today. I'm grateful for all the, did I say that, the lessons I've learned? Just everything about me, I'm grateful for the good, the bad, the indifferent. I am grateful for it because guess what? There's someone out there who didn't get a chance to embrace their journey. There's somebody out here who had ideas, who had dreams, and they didn't get a chance to see them through. But I'm grateful that God has given me dreams, God has given me vision, and I have the activities in my limbs. I have, you know, a sound mind to be able to go after him. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful for the God that's in me. We always think about God as something external, but we never think about the magic that's in you or the God that's in you and just all the awesomeness that's already inside of you. And I'm grateful for that. I am so grateful for that. So this is going to be a really short post because I'm making potato salad and I hear my potatoes boiling. I hope I'm not scorching them, but I'm just grateful. I'm really grateful. And I am excited about the rest of 2019. I'm excited about 2020, 2020 vision, clear vision, man. That's what we're stepping into. This is, and I'm not just next year, but I talked to God last night and I was like, you know what, God, this is going to be the month, December, that all those dreams and visions that I've had and those things that I've wished for, I'm going to start to see the manifestation of them starting now, not just in the new year, but starting now, I'm going to start seeing those things manifest. And this is my time of just walking into just open doors and just an avalanche of just blessings and happiness and peace. And I'm excited about life. I'm excited about my growth, and I'm just excited about all the things that God has shown me. I'm excited about all the visions that he's given me. And usually I would have like vision board parties and things like that. And I would gather my friends, a lot of people and family to come together and, you know, put our visions together and, you know, for the new year. But I felt a little different this year. I feel like this is personal. I feel like all that planning and goal setting and vision and all those things that I did with a group of people, I feel like I just want to do that with just me and God this year and just chop things down and just be intentional about it. So like I said, you know, you might guys may be dealing with some seasonal depression or holiday depression, but for those of you who maybe you live in a city where your family isn't there or you don't have a lot of family, do something different. You know, go to a movie, go treat yourself to dinner. You know, we have these traditions where, you know, people get together and do things collectively, but if that's not your portion, you know, that's not how your life is set up, that's okay. You can still enjoy this day and you have so much to be grateful for. You know, we've lost loved ones and they've gone on, you know, and nothing can ever fill that void, but we have so much to be grateful for. You know, live for them today. They would love to be able to be in your shoes. Live for them. Live for your loved ones. Live for God. Live for yourself. And enjoy your holiday. Enjoy the season. Declare that this is going to be the season of 2020 vision. And, you know, and we're not going to just wait till the new year to start putting plans and motions in action. We're going to do it now. So I know it's been a long time, and I plan to do this more. However, I love you guys. Love you, love you, love you, love you. And happy holidays. I don't know if I'll do another one before the year is out, but if I don't, happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Feliz Navidad, Happy Kwanzaa, all those good things. And know that if no one else loves you, Ashley loves you. Talk to you guys later. Bye.